Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to Infertile Life, the podcast. This is episode 362 called Jared Walker. This episode is brought to you by Fertile. Fertile was created by Dr. Jen, a PhD biologist who lived infertility herself. After hitting roadblocks and being handed a loan application instead of answers, she built what she wished existed, the only sterile, FDA-cleared, at-home insemination kit. Fertile places sperm right at the cervical opening, 1 inch lower than an IUI, with no meds, no prescriptions, and no appointments. The kit includes 3 sterile attempts to time with your cycle. It's as easy to use as a tampon, US made, IVF grade, and HSA, FSA eligible, and it ships discreetly. If you're exhausted, budget stretched, or just want to try something that feels private and empowering, this could be your why not moment. For LGBTQIA+ families, solo parents by choice, or anybody navigating unexplained infertility. So here's what to do. Go to fertile.com today, that's P-H-E-R-D-A-L.com, and use code INFERTILEAF for $10 off. That's fertile, pronounced fertile, but spelled with a PhD out of spite. They told Dr. Jen she wouldn't be a mother, and she used her PhD to prove them wrong. Again, that's P-H-E-R-D-A-L.com with code INFERTILEAF. Thanks, Fertile. This episode is brought to you by Belly. Are you thinking about growing your family? Whether you're just starting to plan or are actively trying to conceive, preconception health is key. That's where Belly comes in. Belly has vitamins to help both women and men optimize their health before pregnancy. With essential nutrients like folate, iodine, and zinc, Belly ensures your body is ready for this exciting next step. Belly goes beyond basic vitamins. Their unique formula supports reproductive health, hormone balance, and fertility, all while being made with the highest quality ingredients. Plus, Belly is created with only clean ingredients so that you can rest assured that you are making a safe choice for you and your future little one. When it comes to starting your family, take the first step with Belly. Give yourself and your future baby the best foundation for a healthy start. Visit bellybaby.com today and use code IAF15 for 15% off your first order. That's bellybaby.com, B-E-L-I-B-A-B-Y, for a healthier tomorrow. Belly Baby, because healthy beginnings start here. Thanks, Belly. Hey, everybody, and Happy New Year. Before we get started, I just wanted to let you know that we're running a great promo on the Work of Art book series. Right now for 2026, you can get Beautiful Bird and You Are a Work of Art, the board book, for just $26 for both of them. So go to infertileafgroup.com and check it out. You can get them there. And you can also check out the OG book called Work of Art. Again, it's infertileafgroup.com. Thank you guys. All right. Today's guest, I'm so excited for you guys to hear his whole story and what he has going on. His name is Jared Walker, and he is the founder of $4, which was born out of a desire to help folks in medical crises after watching his own family's experience. He's on a mission to crush as many medical bills as he can while making charity care known, easy, and fair. And he's going to talk about crushing his own fertility bills and what you guys can do also to crush yours. So in addition to talking about $4, we're going to talk about Jared's story. So I love having guys on the show and giving the male perspective of going through infertility. So Jared and his wife are in the midst of it right now. They're in the thick of it and they don't have their quote unquote happy ending. So no kids. They've been trying for over 7 years. And Jared has also written this beautiful book called The Empty Nest, which you guys can check out online. He's on TikTok. He's big on TikTok. We're going to talk about that. But you can find it online as well. It's a self-published book about 2 ducklings who are going through a fertility struggle, and it's very beautiful. So we're going to talk a lot about that, his own story too, and again, what he's got going on at $4. So without further ado, this is Jared on Infertile AF. Jared, what's up, my friend? It's so good to talk to you again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited. I am very much looking forward to hearing your whole story. So let's start with when you were younger. Did you picture a certain type of family? Did you always want to be a dad?
Yeah, I mean, my life always, when thinking about my future self, always had little ones running around.
Okay. What was your sex education like when you got older? What did you learn in school or through family members or friends? And did fertility, like that word, even come into play for you at all?
No, I would say fertility was not. It was like, having the conversation through, school. Like I remember, in school doing like the sex ed where at the school I went to, it's like, okay, all the boys are going to go over here, all the girls are going to go over here, and then having conversations with I was actually homeschooled for a little bit as well. So I was given a book to read when I was, hey, go read this book and then let's have a conversation about it. So like I would say, typical sex ed, and then fertility, though, was not a word that was in that education at all.
I don't think I heard that word till I was much, much, much older either. Okay, so let's fast forward a bunch. How did you meet your wife?
Oh man, you don't have to. Here's what's crazy. You don't have to fast forward at all. I met my wife when I was like 5, 6 years old.
Oh, I love that.
My parents and her parents started going to the same church at the same time. And I was 6 and she was 4. And I was in like Sunday school class with her older brother. And she was in Sunday school class with my younger sister.
Oh
And
my gosh.
separately, we all became friends. So like her older brother became my best friend growing up, and my younger sister became her best friend growing up. So we grew up together. I've known her almost my whole life.
That is so
So
cool. So when did you guys start to become a couple?
we started dating shortly after she graduated high school. We started hanging out. We started hanging out a lot more, and then we probably started dating a year after that. And yeah, so it was like, I mean, all growing up, it was, she was my little sister's friend, right? Like she was my best friend's little sister. So it's really funny. We have like all of these home videos of us like playing, it's really funny.
That's so cool. Wait, please tell me your younger sister married your best friend then too.
No,
No, okay, that would be cool.
we couldn't get that one to work. just kidding. Yeah, no, that did not happen. But we have talked about that many a times. Yeah, so we started dating, I think she was, 19, something like that, when we started dating. So yeah,
Okay.
we got married pretty darn young.
Do you remember talking about family and what you and her together as a couple envisioned your family looking like?
Yeah, we both kind of wanted 3, 4 kids.
Okay, so what happened? Again, fast forwarding probably a bit at least. What happened when you guys started to try?
Yeah, so we started trying about 7 years ago now. And we started watching our community. People started having kids. And we had our first, niece like from our like immediate community of friends. And it was like, okay, like it started, becoming exciting. Like, we would love to start a family. So we started about 7 years ago. And it's just watching everybody else. Like, well, shoot, this is should be pretty easy, right? And about a year in, we got a positive pregnancy test, and it was Christmas Day. It was Christmas Day. We were. It
Oh
was
my
like,
God.
yeah. It's it makes it it like makes it more devastating because it was one of these things where I think that we were both like at the point where it's like, okay, like, well, what's going on? Like, what? And then, woke up Christmas morning. Pregnancy test positive. We were both just like so excited. We're with both of our families that whole day. We obviously didn't say anything about it because it's so early, but we both felt kind of like, oh, we have this cool little secret like between us. We're already, talking about, oh, names. We're talking about, we'd start buying little clothes. Like it just kind of we were super excited. That ended in a loss pretty early, and
So sorry.
it was like, obviously super devastating for us, but it also was like, well, it put any fear of something being wrong, right? Because it's like, oh, well, like nothing's wrong, because we had a positive pregnancy test. So, mm-hmm. so that was something that was really challenging early on. So then, since then, nothing.
No other positive tests since then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So at what point were you, the two of you, thinking, we need to meet a specialist, we need to take some action, we need to do something else, because, you know, doing it on our own isn't happening?
Yeah, so it was about, I think, about a year after that. First, it was, you know, both just going to see our doctors and talking about it, getting some testing, and very much, you know, everything looks fine. Everything looks mm-hmm. fine. So then when
for both of you, that's what they said?
Yeah. The only thing that they said was like, well, Jared, your numbers like could be better. So, but it was like, but no cause for alarm. So I stopped drinking. So I've been sober mm-hmm. for a little over 3 years now. We both joined a gym, started going to, you know, morning gym classes. We both we just started doing all of the, well, whatever can, you know, give us better chances, started getting
right.
healthier.
Like get as healthy as you can in all areas. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was very, but you know, it was just the classic, like, you know, unexplained infertility. So we started seeing specialists, you know, same response, you know, then you start getting into like, okay, we saw our naturopathic doctors and we started going to, you know, you're just trying anything. I remember yeah. like both of us getting like acupuncture and both of us getting mm-hmm. like, you know, just like all of these things where I'm like, I have no idea
yeah.
what the hell this is going to help with, if it's going to help, but we're just
totally
trying everything. So
I would have done anything. I was like, if somebody told me you have to go like on the Brooklyn Bridge, climb up to the top, sleep there overnight, like I would have been like, yep, I'll do it. You know, like I didn't care. It was like, give me all the things.
Yeah. And that yeah. So we were, you know, just going through that whole journey of, you know, really, I feel like it's like, we're just trying to figure out what's wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, but when you keep getting the, well, nothing's wrong. And then, you know, a year into no drinking and exercise and whatever, then we're going and getting our tests and it's like, well, shoot, now it's, you know, now it's even better, but we still can't, you know, tell you what's going on. So,
right. Yeah. So let me ask you this, Jared, what impact did this have on your like mental health and stuff? Like it's hard. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth at all, but for me, it's, and for so many people listening, it's so hard when people around you are seemingly getting pregnant very easily and you want this more than anything and it's just not happening. So how did that feel for you?
You know, I think first it starts to feel lonely, mm-hmm. right? You start to feel kind of left out from, you know, the even just the conversations of like, you know, when all of your friends are dads and they're talking about their, you know, dad lives, or all your friends yeah. are moms and they're talking about their mom life, then
they're dad bods.
Yeah. Yeah. You start to feel a little like, well, I can't really participate in this. So you start to feel a little lonely. You start to feel a little isolated. So that yeah. obviously doesn't feel good. And I would say, you know, that was for both of us for sure. Then I think going into like more loneliness I would say is like, men don't typically talk about it either.
Right.
Right. So you're not, you know, we're not having conversations about this. This is not something that's getting brought up.
Did you have anybody you could lean on or anybody you could talk to about it? A guy, I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely talked about it with my brother-in-law. But again, it, you know, not in a way that made me feel like, oh, wow, like this is really, really helpful. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's hard because I would say I wasn't making that really known as a need of mine either. Right. Because I'm sitting here kind of like, well, I'm not going to, you know, talk about this or I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, yeah, loneliness. And then I would say, you know, phase two is like frustration, right? Like you start getting frustrated, like, well, what the heck is going on? You know, we went and started talking to a couple's therapists. And obviously mm-hmm. this was something that we talked about quite a bit. People, you know, grieve differently. People, you know, certain things trigger men and women differently, I think, you know, and which is kind of what inspired the me writing the book, right?
I definitely want to talk a lot about the book, which is such a sweet book called The Empty Nest. We will talk about that. But before we get to that, was there anything else that was going on in, you know, like treatment wise or, you know, anything else you incorporated as you guys continued to try at this point?
All the anti-inflammatory mm-hmm. diets, all of the, I mentioned like acupuncture. I mentioned we supplements, taking a bunch of different supplements. And that was, you know, you're kind of going through that journey over the years of, okay, well, we'll switch up this, we'll switch up this. You know, we didn't start talking about IVF until a little bit more. Well, I mean, we talked about it, but we didn't, you know, we weren't like going to the fertility clinic to like really dive into that until about a year ago.
Okay. So at what point did the book come into play?
I started journaling a couple years ago. So before we really started looking into IVF stuff, or maybe right around the same time. Mm-hmm. And the book was really started out as just like those feelings that we were having, you know, feeling lonely or feeling left out from things or feeling frustrated at questions people were asking. I just started to kind of journal really just like ideas. And I don't know why, but it was, I always had this in this idea of like these two little ducks going yes. around and like experiencing this whole thing. And I had been writing that, and my wife asked if I would write her something special for her birthday, like a special card or whatever. I used to like, I'm not a writer by any means. This is not like, I'm not.
No one. Yes, you are. You are a published author.
I guess so now, but it's not like, no one is expecting me to write anything ever, but I
okay.
would write poems or thoughtful letters or whatever for my wife. And I hadn't done that in a couple of years. And she was like, well, this is what I want for my birthday. So I was like, well, I've been journaling all this stuff, and I started to organize it and put it into a little bit more like thoughtful story and ended up reading it to her on her birthday 2 years ago.
Like what is now the book?
Yeah, the version of it then.
Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So wait, have you always journaled?
On and off. I have journaled throughout my life, mm-hmm. but I feel like it comes and goes. And, you know, I think that's probably pretty normal. I think
this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. The new year doesn't require a new you, maybe just a less burdened you. So many of us carry fear, pressure, doubt, or the constant need to be perfect. And therapy can help you better identify what's weighing you down or holding you back. Having an unbiased perspective can make it so much easier to understand your relationships, motivations, and emotions, and decide what you're ready to let go of. And this is where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp offers access to quality therapists who are fully licensed in the U.S. and work according to a strict code of conduct. They also do the matching work for you. You fill out a short questionnaire, and based on your needs and preferences, plus more than 12 years of experience, BetterHelp typically gets the match right the first time. And if you ever want to switch therapists, you can do that really easily. With over 30,000 therapists and more than 5 million people served globally, BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. You guys know I'm a huge fan of therapy, and I'm always advocating for people to get help if they need it, which is why I would love for you to check out BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. So if you want to take action now, go to betterhelp.com, sign up, and get 10% off. Again, that's BetterHelp.com. Go to betterhelp.com, sign up, and get 10% off. Happy New Year to all of you, and thank you so much to BetterHelp. Again, that's BetterHelp.com.
When you're going through particularly hard or great, you know, seasons of life, you write about them. So I don't have like a consistent journal throughout my life, but on and off. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So, all right, let's dive into the book. So it's called The Empty Nest. It is so sweet. And I would rather have you explain it than me. So tell everybody how you came up with the story. You mentioned the ducks, which are adorable. How did you find your illustrator? How did you know what type of a book you wanted to do, etc.?
Okay, so the book truly started out as just a letter to my wife, a note yes. to my wife.
Was she sobbing when you read it to her?
It was a very emotional evening.
Yes, I bet.
She had no idea that I was writing anything. I think that she might have even forgot that she asked me to write something. So it wasn't like, you know, she didn't know I had been working on something. So I had put this together, and on her birthday, I said, "Hey, I want to read you what I wrote." And I started reading it. And I think the reason that I was writing it is because my wife and I were having a really hard time because of all of this. We were not connecting in, you know, ways that we had in the past. We were both feeling isolated. We were grieving completely differently. We were just missing each other. And I was writing about that and kind of, you know, what we were experiencing. And it kind of came out in this story. So I started reading it, and we were just sobbing together. I mean, it took way too long to get through this tiny little book.
Yes.
But it was something just for us that I felt like she felt more seen. I felt like I could kind of maybe just unleash the emotions that I had been holding that she probably hadn't seen before, which I think was part of the tension and part of the us not connecting, is I wasn't showing my emotions. I wasn't sharing those emotions. And it was just something that kind of helped us connect and bring us together to where we felt like, okay, we see each other in a way that we hadn't as we were kind of grieving through this. So yes, the book is about two ducks that are trying to start a family. They kind of watch as their little pond grows, and their friends and, you know, people are having little ducklings, and their eggs never hatch. And it's really like, you know, for me, we had read a few other books, and there are a few other books like children's illustrated style books, but they all end with like, and then the baby comes, like, and that's it. Like the ending is always like, hooray.
And
like,
then it worked. Right. Yes, absolutely.
That was not our story like that. That was just not what we had experienced. And I wanted something that reflected that, that was just like maybe a little bit more emotional. So that was why, you know, I wrote it in the way that I did.
Yeah.
And then over time, it was very much just our thing. And we had some friends that had a pretty devastating pregnancy loss, and we shared it with them. We shared it with a couple other people. And over time, people were just really encouraging to like, hey, you should maybe organize this a little bit more and put it into a like a story.
It's so organic how it came about. And I think it really comes through in, you know, the storytelling and the writing. Like, you've lived it, you're living it still, you know, and it's really easy to connect with that for somebody in the TTC world who is still, you know, in that space. So how did you find your illustrator?
I found my illustrator on TikTok.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Yes, you are big on TikTok.
I was looking for, I wanted it to feel a little like old school, like Beatrix Potter, Winnie the Pooh, kind of like, I don't know, like a book that I would read growing up. I had this vision in my head of what I wanted the story to feel like. And that kind of old school illustration really was appealing to me, and pretty hard to find, actually.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah. So tell me about the reaction to the book. I know that you and I have talked about TikTok and how, you know, you've done really well on there getting the word out and, you know, reaching the people that need this. Tell me about some of the specific feedback you've gotten.
Yeah, I think feedback that I've gotten has been positive. It is very, I've had a lot of people say, hey, you know, you should have like a trigger warning on this book. It can be like pretty emotional. I have, what people say is that they feel seen where they're at. Because again, this book does not end with that like fairy tale and then everything is like perfect at the end. And that story is important because that is a lot of people's story. But also, there are a lot of people that are like just in the thick of it.
Yeah.
And they don't feel like those books resonate with them because they're like, I just want to feel, I want to be in my feelings.
I get it.
I want to like mourn this or grieve this. And that's been the feedback. I've had a lot of people say, you know, hey, my husband and I read this and, you know, it was the first time we've cried together over this, which I think, you know, again, is exactly what I wanted from it, because I felt like it was such a turning point for my wife and I of like finally connecting over the grief, and having other people go through that and have that experience with it has been really touching for us, because that's, you know, that's what we wanted. So the feedback has been positive. And I think that if you're currently going through it or have gone through it, I think that the book resonates.
Absolutely. And, you know, people just want to feel seen, right? So to create something where maybe people didn't feel seen before in this, you know, genre, I think it's really important. It's really cool. And to also use it as, you know, kind of the bonus of it being out in the world is, like you said, it really encourages hard conversations between, you know, people, and possibly stirs up some emotions that were like, hadn't come out yet. So I think I'm all for it. I love that.
One thing that I've noticed is that I think 97% of all of my followers are women. So that's another thing that I've noticed is like, men don't typically talk about this at all.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there are others, but as of now, I don't know any other like people that are any other men talking about their, you know, fertility journey or anything like that. So I think that that has
like kind on of, TikTok, you mean, or in general
on TikTok.
Oh, okay. And
so I think that that has kind of, that's been another common response is like, oh, wow, like wasn't expecting this kind of thing. So, which I think is, you know, a problem. Men are also going through this, right?
Totally.
And I don't feel like, for whatever reason, and I would say that most people, just in general, people don't want to talk about this subject in general, but I think men especially are having a very hard time talking about it if they're going through it. And I think that that impacts the relationship. I mean, it did for us, like me not being open about my emotions and talking to my wife about it, like made her feel more alone in it. So like, that's something that I think is important. You know, I think that there's like just a general feeling of sometimes I think men look at it as like, oh, well, this is like her thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that can be damaging as well.
So can you tell us where you guys are now with everything?
We are working with a fertility clinic. We are hopefully we'll be starting that IVF journey. And I think that it's taken a little bit to get here. I think that we had a really hard time with these conversations of, you know, okay, I think that you know, when you're struggling to have children, you automatically start going into, okay, well, will we do the science route, right? Are we going to go do IVF? Are we going to have special kind of an intervention there? Or is it going to be adoption? Is it going to be foster care? Is it going to like, what does our, cause you know, you start thinking about your life as like, well, what does our life look like now? If this doesn't happen,
right?
What does it look like? What are we, you know, cause you make these plans, you have these ideas of what your life is going to look like. And then something like this happens and it's okay, well now what? And those, you know, we've been having that conversation for a while. And currently working with a fertility clinic in the Pacific Northwest that we'll be starting that. So hopefully more to come, but that's kind of where we're at.
How are you feeling about where you're at right now and like pivoting to going down the IVF road?
You know, I think there is excitement. There definitely is excitement of like, okay, well, maybe this works and we get to, you know, have the thing that we want and have wanted for a long time. I think that there is also an equal part of like frustration that this is where we're at, that this is what it takes, that, you know, and, you know, that can get down to a lot of, you know, it's a pretty intense, from what I have been told by our doctor, like it's a pretty intense situation that is not fun. So there's that. There's also the cost. It is so wildly expensive. There is the, you know, I think that there's still like hope of like, well, maybe we can have kids naturally. And it's like, how long do you wait until you go for it? So like, yeah, there's a lot of emotions with it. We're excited. We're nervous. We, you know, what if it doesn't work? you know, there's totally. So there's a lot of that going on right now.
Yeah. And I think that that's all of it's right. You know, all those things are true. Do you guys have any insurance coverage?
Very little. Like we have insurance, but not insurance that would cover.
Well, you should share with people. Tell me a little bit more about your job and what you're doing in terms of medical bills. And like, how does that come into play with this story?
Yeah. So my other life.
I mean, do you want to talk about that?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So my day job is I run a nonprofit that helps people with hospital bills. So we eliminate medical debt. We've eliminated about $120 million of medical debt for people throughout the country. And, you know, I think that like Dollar Four and myself are advocates for how to fight against the, you know, bad healthcare system. And maybe that is, you know, hospital financial assistance and charity care programs. Maybe that is negotiating medical bills. Maybe that is all that. So like I have already negotiated hospital bills and lab bills and all that. So like, I will definitely be looking through every single one of these line items and trying to see, you know, other options and negotiating it down. But yeah, it's expensive. It's expensive no matter what. And a lot of these things are not covered by traditional insurance. And I'm sure that there are ways to save and little shortcuts here and there, and I'm sure I will find them. But as of right now,
If anybody can, yeah. It is you. So if people want to know more about that, they can go to $4, like FOR.org. And I think what you're doing is incredible and, you know, just crushing medical debt for people. It's such a huge, obviously it's a huge problem in our, not only our country, but in the world. And it's really not fair. And, you know, this is so cost prohibitive for so many people. You know, we talk a lot about, I was just talking to somebody over the weekend about the privilege and having the privilege to even go down the IVF road. A lot of people don't, you know, and it's so not fair, for lack of a better term, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a huge barrier. I mean, cost is one in four Americans will neglect care that they need outside of, you know, fertility care, like actual, like keep this person alive care because of the cost.
Yeah. Right.
So we know that cost is a huge barrier for people to get the treatment that they need. And then when you talk about this, it is a very privileged thing to even have, you know, be able to go to one of these clinics and see. So, it's a huge problem. Just like the book, it's like we're still in it, right?
Yeah.
Like there's no ending yet. We don't know how this is going to work. We don't know how this is going to turn out. We're still in that waiting, you know, and hoping.
Right. And, you know, I'd love to have another conversation down the road. I know you and I will keep talking for sure, but, you know, just offline as well. But for anybody who, I hope some guys are listening to this, you know, and, you know, I think a lot of my listeners are women as well as your book customers too. But for any men who might be listening, what do you know now that you didn't know when you first entered this world? Any wisdom or advice that you want to share?
What I found is that my wife is thinking about this at all times. And she's sharing about it to me a lot of the time. It's something that is constantly on her mind. And it is also on my mind. But I'm not sharing as much about even little things. Like, you know, oh, we're going to our niece's birthday party. Hey, this is heavy for me. This is hard. This is emotional. I feel, you know, it's actually like one of the pages in the book. It's like, hey, like I'm excited to celebrate my niece, but I'm also like in pain over here.
Yeah.
And I don't think that men just willingly give that up of like, oh, I'm just going to share the time, the struggles that I'm having. Hey, you know, I was at the grocery store and I saw this little kid, you know, picking out a toy and it made me think, well, shit, like I, you know, really wish I had kids, whatever it is. Mm. And I think that what I have learned is when you have those feelings, share them. The answer is always share the feelings because they are thinking about it. Your partner is thinking about it. And when you share it, there's like a connection there and it makes them feel less alone. And I think that men have a hard time sharing it and they will most likely just like have that feeling by themselves and, you know, let it pass. And I think the more often that you can share your emotions and your feelings and struggles and pain through this journey, the better it would be. That's been my experience.
Okay, thank you so much for listening. If you guys want to hear more about what Jared has going on at $4, go to $4.org. And you can also check out his book, The Empty Nest. You can follow him on TikTok or Instagram. And it's just a really beautiful book for people who are still in the thick of it. So I'm so glad he put that out into the world. And thank you, Jared, for sharing your story. Speaking of books, you can check out the Work of Art book series, which is Work of Art, Beautiful Bird, and You Are a Work of Art, the board book, which is a universal story for all babies that were born through assisted reproductive technology, so including IVF and IUI, surrogacy, embryo donation, all the things, and donor conception, of course. You can check those out at infertileafgroup.com. Also, give me a follow on Instagram at infertileafstories. You can hear the latest. And I have another book in the works that will come out later this year, so check out the IG for updates on that. Again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your support. Check out the books at infertileafgroup.com, and I will talk to you guys soon.